For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Back to another edition of the Net Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Another day, another action-packed podcast for you guys. Rutgers football spring practice number two is in the books. Richie, you'll have everything from today's practice and everything that Kirk Soraka said in his presser. Also, yeah, he's a little mean to Richie, but whatever. He's got thick skin. You can take it. A lot of news on the basketball front. Gavin Griffiths, as we've alluded to for almost a week now, sounded like he was going to enter the portal. We had been hearing rumblings for a bit. He jumped into the portal today. We also have Zach Martini, the Princeton transfer, currently on campus. We'll have the latest with him and his teammate, Matt Lalaco, and some other updates on portal guys that Rutgers is currently after. But first, the presenting sponsor of Night Report Podcast is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. If you're looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise, Night and Day Apparel has you covered.
Okay, happy with me today.
From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media accounts so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. We're also brought to you by the Cut app. Hey, TKR Nation, as you know, we partner with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the TKR crew on Cut today and bet directly against Richie and I on your favorite sports, pop culture, and political topics. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform, and it's now legal in 40 plus states. Be sure to follow at CutBet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or cut.com. Use the code BELEAVERUTGERS, that's BLEAV Rutgers, for a 10% deposit bonus on your first deposit.
That was long.
It was long. we're gonna have to cut that down. Yeah. Anyway, so
KUTT cut. We're funny.
Let's talk football practice number two. So you were there today. They had practice inside the bubble, so it was closed. But what did you hear from the practice? What did Kirk Soraka have to say? What was kind of the buzz at practice today?
So I guess the first question was the most interesting. Kirk talked about Dymir Miller, said he was a little bit better than he actually thought he would be, which is, I mean, always a great sign. I don't know how you really determine that based off two practices and the fact that the guy had 1,300 yards last year. But
he led the FCS in receiving yards last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty damn good. So, I mean, that's always a good sign, though. I actually got a chance to see him, so we get to see the beginning of practice. He's smaller than I thought. I always thought he was like a taller than like he's a little bit smaller
I think
than
he's listed at 6 foot. Yeah,
I think smaller than what Bo Melton is though, or was I should say.
It's funny you say that because his tape reminded me a lot of Bo Melton, like his movement skills, just like very. You could tell that he's he's gonna run the low four fours, high four threes, in my opinion.
Yeah, see, now I tread carefully when I say that now because someone asked me, they're like, what's your like biggest like prediction that didn't come true? And I was like, I thought Taj Harris was going to beat Bo Melton like 2.0. That didn't work out. So I'm not comparing anyone to Bo ever again. Bo, you're the only one. That's it. there's only one Bo Melton. He's on the Packers. But that was interesting, the Dymir Miller thing. Talked about his offense a little bit. I asked him about the tight end room because everyone always asks us about it. or the lack there of the usage in the tight end room. Maybe I worded it incorrectly, but he kind of gave like a little bit of a, I'm going to say he gave a little dicky response. he was kind of just like, what do you mean I don't use the tight ends? I was like, well, I mean, receptions, catches, like, let's be honest. Like, well, I didn't even ask him that. I asked, what do you look for in a tight end? And he did answer it interestingly. He did say something about being a receiving threat, but he also mentioned about how he wants them being able to block the gaps, which makes sense based on the fact that they don't use their tight ends other than blocking, which is fine. Just admit that then. Just put a fullback there. But yeah, nothing too crazy. He's always pretty quiet when it comes to talking about the team and stuff. He mentioned the word chop about four times, which is like media speak, I guess. Coach speak, if you want to call it that. But yeah, no, nothing too crazy. I thought it was just a normal conversation with Kirk. He talked about Ethan, talked about Gavin, talked about I thought actually Chris Eisman had a really good question. He asked if about Gavin's fundamentals kind of just falling apart as the season went on, and that's where it kind of became a little bit of a train wreck. He didn't throw Gavin under the bus, which is obviously the smart thing to do. But I thought he brought up a good point that like fundamentals are just such a key part of being a quarterback at the end of the day. If you can just keep those fundamentals strong and steady, then you should be decent at the very least, especially in an offense that runs 400 times in a year.
Yeah.
So nothing crazy, but another good day of practice.
Yeah, I know somebody asked about the offensive line. What does Kirk think of the progression of the offensive line? And he said he thought from game one to the final game of the year, they made huge strides. And I totally agree with that. In terms of, you know, getting a guy like Reggie Sutton back mid-year was huge. The guys who were turnstiles, you know, two seasons ago, developing into useful players was a huge step forward. And he credited Coach Flats for really helping develop a lot of those offensive linemen last year. And I only expect things to improve because they're returning, what, three returning starters, if not four?
Yeah.
And obviously they lost Curtis Dunlap. But I think at least guys who started at least 50% of the season, I believe they're returning four of the five starters from last year.
Yeah, it really depends, I guess, how you count that Sutton-Needham thing, because like Needham started, but then Sutton started. What else was I going to say? Oh, Pat Flaherty. Yeah, I was told today that he's actually like he's going to recruit a lot more this cycle, it seems like. And that makes sense, and it goes hand-in-hand with what we've seen on social media. He was at Michael Carroll's high school, which, mind you, not far in Pennsylvania, but it's still in Pennsylvania. Whereas last year, it was like all Vallone in terms of offensive line recruiting. Now, Vallone's still going to help out in that category, I'm sure. But it is interesting to see Flats getting a little more on the trail. And I mean, hey, when you can walk around and be like, hey, look at this ring. Hey, look at this ring. Like, look what I can do. 40 plus years, I've been with a bunch of NFL teams. It's an easy sell, at least for a lineman, I would say, at least.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, if you're driving an hour into Pennsylvania, that's one thing. If you're flying, you know, on a 2-day trip to Florida and then Georgia, that's a total different animal. So it would make sense that he's recruiting guys in the general vicinity. What else was discussed today? Did you guys get any players to talk to?
Yeah. So the way the system works is we all get to pick players every week. Now we're not guaranteed those players. So like, for example, I did request Malcolm Ray. I really want to learn about his background, his time at Florida State. He became a rotational player there. He was probably not a starter, but he was going to play significant snaps this season for the Seminoles if he stayed. So I was just kind of interested in learning that, how the portal worked, all that other stuff. Who else was interested? I always like learning about what other schools were interested. It always kind of tells you more to the story of like how good he is or could be. But I got to talk to Austin Riggs. This is a guy I wanted to talk to for a little bit now since he committed. Really interesting kid, really fun to talk to. His journey and his whole life story is he's obviously from Idaho, so he's like for the most part, right, I would assume just about every Idahoan. What do we call them? I don't know what we call Idaho people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Regardless,
to the maybe one Idaho resident who's listening, sorry for not knowing what your individual members of your state are named.
Yeah. So regardless, he is Mormon. So he did do a 2-year mission over in South Africa. I forget that he said somewhere near Zimbabwe. It might have actually been Zimbabwe. I have to double check on that. I have to go re-listen to the audio. But he told me his whole story. So he went from Idaho to BYU to South Africa for 2 years to, I think he was back to BYU after the mission, and then now in New Jersey. So it's quite the journey. He's also not just fluent in English, of course, but he's also fluent in 3 different languages that all are from South African descent. I don't know the names of them off the top of my head. But they'll be in our story. It was just a really cool story to talk to him. He did say, which I thought was kind of funny, the narrative around New Jersey people like being, we're jerk offs. I mean, we are what we are. But he said the narrative around Jersey isn't true. Like, everyone's been so nice. I was like, oh, like, have you had trouble like making friends or anything like that? He goes, I have 140 friends right over there in the bubble. And I was like, oh, wow, dude, you got this on point. Like, you're ready. But cool backstory. He was a defensive end up until like middle school, and his dad was kind of like, dude, you're not going to make the league. Like, you're not even going to make college. Like, he's like, I'm going to make a college level. I want to play the college level. Dad goes, try long snapping. See if it works out for you. I tried it, and this man, like, just down to techniques he was talking about, I was like, I just thought you'd just kind of go, done. There's he was like, I can kind of pinpoint it wherever I want to go now. Like, I'm getting really good at it. He worked with Chris Rubio, who everyone knows. If you follow recruiting, you know who he is. He's the only guy that ranks long snappers. How he does that, again, I don't know. Yeah, so Chris Rubio, I found out, is an Idaho native. He's another Idahoan. That's correct. So he's worked with Chris Rubio since he was in middle school. And Chris Rubio is like the premier long snapping dude. So really fun to talk to him. That story is going to be super long. So when it does come out, just bear with me. There's a lot to talk about with him, but really fun kid to talk to. And we'll get some more players in the next couple of days too.
Yeah, for those of you who might need a refresher, he is the transfer that we got this offseason from BYU, whose younger brother was brought in to be the long snapper there as well, who was brought in to replace him. And he had one extra year of eligibility. And I think he just didn't want to step on any toes there, wanted his brother to kind of have the job, or maybe just wanted to move on. I'm just kind of guessing here. And he ended up coming to Rutgers for his last year of eligibility. Like you said, he was on a 2-year mission, so he's a bit of an older guy. He's from Idaho. He's also, from what I remember, he's a pretty big guy. He's like, he's listed at like 6'4", like 230. So when his dad was saying he couldn't play defensive end, he must have gone through one hell of a growth spurt from middle school to now.
It was definitely interesting to talk to him. Like I said, the fact that his brother took over his starting job is kind of wild at BYU. His dad played linebacker at BYU, so it just kind of runs in the family, the football genes. But really, really good kid. I hope he has a great year. His goal is to make the league, and he told me he had other Power 5 offers, so that's always notable. I mean, as a long snapper, that's huge. Most Power 5s don't even bother. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like a kicker or a punter. You really only need one every 4 years if things work out. So Rutgers has kind of struggled ever since Billy Taylor ran out of eligibility. So it sounds like they finally got their guy in Austin Riggs, especially now that, you know, Eldridge medically retired. So there's one of your portal guys. Billy Taylor's brother ended up transferring. So there's another one of your scholarship long snappers. So they've been through a bit of a carousel trying to find the right guy. It sounds like they finally did, though.
Yeah. Plus, hey, man, long snapper you at this point. Clark Harris, Andrew DePola, name another school that has 2 starting long snappers in the league. You can't. I think Clark Harris actually retired. But
He did retire, but they did have 2 for a long time. And Andrew DePola, I think he was named to an all-pro team and a pro bowler.
He was a pro bowler, yeah. It's crazy. So again, how do you judge that? I don't know.
I don't know either. Anything else football related before we head over to basketball news?
No, I don't think so. Just going to get ready for Saturday. Saturday will not be a scrimmage, just so everyone knows. Harris Simiak will be talking, so very excited there. Unfortunately, I will not be there. We will have the video up. I have Easter plans, unfortunately. Sorry. Holiday weekend, nothing I can do.
Got it. All right, let's head over to...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The hardwood now. Again, the long speculated departure of Gavin Griffiths officially occurred today. He entered the portal after one season at Rutgers. He was a top 25 overall recruit. He was a 5-star for a really long time in the class of 23. The last update, Rivals bumped him down to a 4-star.
I feel like we did the right
thing. This is a guy that I had pretty high expectations for. He was known as a shooter in high school. He was known as an offense first player that maybe needed some work on his defense. And he seemed like he was ready to learn under Steve Peichel. And everything he said was the right thing. He said he would never transfer. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he couldn't wait to get here because Peichel is going to beef up his defense and get him bigger and ready for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But he never really took any steps forward this season. You know, the high point was certainly the second game of the season against Boston University. He scores 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of, you know, just a, it felt like a coronation event where he's, you know, this is going to be a guy that we can rely on throughout the season. Maybe by the end of the season, he becomes, you know, the scoring threat on the team. But it seems like he kind of plateaued. He dealt with a lot of freshman struggles. He didn't look really very happy on the court. I mean, just playing body language doctor out there, you know, he looked miserable at times. Even at the best of times, he just, you know, would put a smirk on. And, you know, that's some, you know, some people's, you know, demeanor on the court is just all business. So they're not all smiles, you know. Some guys like Jeremiah Williams, you know exactly how he's feeling at all times. Very animated. Some guys aren't. Mm-hmm. But this just felt weird all season. You know, he didn't shoot particularly well. And you can blame the offense and, you know, the overall player talent from last year for some of that. But he was just missing a lot of open shots, too. I don't want to say he had the yips, but he definitely was dealing with confidence issues. And I don't know. I expected a whole lot more out of him this year. Pretty disappointed. And honestly, him leaving, it opens up a spot for a proven player for next year, which is something that I think is important. Having a hope he develops kind of mentality around a guy you're relying on might not be necessarily the best strategy. Maybe that's just a little bit of cope in me, but I've gone on a pretty long monologue here. What's your thoughts on Gavin leaving and kind of how this whole thing came together?
I think people need to take a deep breath and just relax. Everyone, I get a text or DM every time something happens and everyone's like, yo, Gavin now, are you kidding me? And I'm like, oh, number one, dude, just tell me you don't listen to my podcast. Come on. Like number two, like, I don't think it's a really big loss. Do I think Gavin could be a really good 4-year player at some other school, a high major? Cause I can almost guarantee you he's probably going to end up at a high major. He's that good. He's still a good player. He has the potential. And that's what schools love. They'll just take a guy on potential alone. Antonio Alfano still had offers at some point somehow. I don't know how. Number one recruit. So, of course, you're always going to get offers. But he had his moments. He looked good in the conference tournament towards the end of the season. He had a good game against Maryland despite the loss. But overall, he just supposedly was not happy with his playing time and his role. Fair a little bit for the sole fact that, like, you kind of got benched a little bit midseason. You were down to, like, the ninth man at one point, I feel like.
Yeah. Yep.
Palmquist was playing a lot over him. Austin Williams was playing a lot over him. But the other issue is like, not only could he not shoot, but he couldn't defend for the longest time. There's a picture, if you search Gavin Griffiths in our photo database, of him just getting yammed on by somebody. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. That happens to a lot of people. It happens no matter what. It happens to, like, stars. Like, you get yammed on and that's it. Like, but now that photo's in history, so it doesn't matter. He did improve his defense. He got better at it, but he still struggled with it. He did improve his rebounding. He got better at it, but still struggled mightily. And then when you're shooting as poorly as he was with the usage he was having, it's there's nothing you can do. Like, this kid came in as arguably the best shooter in his class per one of the recruiting analysts we talked to. And not only was he missing field goals, he was missing three-pointers, he was missing free throws. Like, 60% from this star-studded shooter from the free throw line is not something I can have happen. 32% from the field, like, and stupid fucking mid ranges, man. Hate the mid range game, and everyone feels, and even in, like, you see it now in the Sweet 16. You know, you'll see it tonight in the round of 32. It just drives me nuts. But like you said, scholarships are at a premium right now, especially with this team coming in. You will have two star players. You build around them. You're going to build around shooters. He was probably not too happy when he saw Martini coming to campus. It was a 3-point shooter and essentially the similar size, maybe more muscle, obviously, but similar height. But I can't wait for you to develop at the end of the day. So don't get me wrong. Rutgers wanted to keep him and they would have loved to keep him because this could have been the year after Dylan and Ace, and you could have Gavin, and Gavin could kind of come in and hit a couple shots here or there. But I get it too. He doesn't want to sit on the bench. He wants to play, and I don't know who's going to guarantee him starting minutes. I don't know many schools that would, but I think a school would guarantee him at least a legitimate role in the rotation as a sixth or seventh man. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's still a very talented player. I wouldn't say he's a good player at this time.
No.
I think he underwhelmed for everybody's expectations, including probably his own. And this is kind of, I've heard Gio and Ron talk about how hard being a freshman playing in the Big Ten is. Like, you just sometimes feel like everything you're doing is wrong. It seems like you're not really making any progress, but you just kind of have to continue to fight through that. And I don't know at what point it was the point of no return for Gavin, but it just felt like something went wrong this year with him, and I can't put my finger on it, but it just did. It just felt off almost all season after the Boston University game. Like you said, he didn't really get a ton of playing time. I didn't think he looked kind of lost in the Princeton game. Like, he looked like he didn't belong on the court.
Yeah, and that's a tough game to start your career off with too.
Absolutely. He did make progress throughout the year, but in the end, like, I don't know. Maybe it's for the best for all parties involved. I do expect him to end up at a high major. Perception-wise, this is a bigger hit than in reality, though, for Rutgers basketball. I do think, given what we're hearing is going on in the portal, we'll be able to replace him with a better player for next year, without a doubt. So, while it does suck, it does, you know, this was a guy that I think the whole staff was hoping could be a 3 to 4 year player who Rutgers could rely on to be one of the top scorers this year and in the future. It just didn't work out. It happens.
He had a game span in the middle of the season from late December to middle of January. 8 games. He had 40 attempts. Take a guess on how many he made in those 8 games.
4?
Yeah, wow, okay.
4 of the 40?
You looking at the same thing I am?
No, I just guessing.
Abu, if I counted this correct, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He made 7 out of 40. Which, do the math.
Yeah, 7 out of 40 is 17%.
Yeah, that's not good. So, I mean, there's a reason those numbers were down minutes-wise, at least. There was one game where he came in and went 0 of 2. Another game he came in 0 of 2. 0 of 1 of 8, 1 of 5, 0 of 5. 3 of 11. Like, at some point, this goes to say, I said this about Derek too. When you're not hitting, I know they want you to sometimes shoot out of a slump, but when you can't take 11 shots and make 3 of them, like, you just cost me the game essentially. Like,
yep.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but
I don't think you're overthinking it. I just think, I think people are not thinking of this rationally right now.
Yeah, they see the ranking, and people say stars don't matter. But then when it comes to this, it's like, no, all of a sudden stars matter. And it's like, I don't know. It is what it is. I would just calm down a little bit. It's not that serious. This guy shot 32%, 28 from 3.
Yep.
I could name about, there's 1,100 people in the portal. I would say about 50% of them probably shoot better than that, at least.
Yep. And let's talk about one of those guys who shoots better than that. He's on campus right now. Zach Martini is the, let's just call him a forward from Princeton.
Yeah.
We've talked about him a few times. He's currently on an official visit to Rutgers. Originally, we thought he'd be coming here with his teammate today, Matt Alaco. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that didn't happen because Alaco is home with his family in Ohio for the holiday. Yep. What are you hearing about Martini's visit? And do you expect any good news in the near future after his visit?
So I was told he was mostly going to Rutgers as more of a formal visit, more to check out the campus, check out the facilities. Remember, this kid is a Jersey guy, but he didn't have the Rutgers recruitment coming out of high school. I think he was 2019 kid, 2020, something like that. But yeah, he wasn't really recruited by Rutgers out of high school. So this is just more so to get him around campus, let him show off the brand new practice facility, show off the rack. I'm sure he's obviously familiar with that at the very least, because he did grow up a Rutgers fan, or his family were Rutgers fans, I should say. But yeah, just kind of show him around, let the coaching staff meet him, let them kind of talk with him, try to sell him on Rutgers. It's not like, doesn't sound like they're going to push all the way for him to commit right now. Although I should say I'm very confident that he's still going to end up a Scarlet Knight. I think Rutgers has a really good shot. Like I said before, Rutgers fans growing up in his family, Jersey kid through and through. So I think this is probably going to be your starting four when it's all said and done. People are pissy about that because they don't see double digits in scoring, and they're like, we need 10 points. And it's like, dude, mm-hmm. look at his numbers. Like, complete opposite of Gavin Griffiths.
Yeah. You'd be a huge addition, especially if he's able to help recruit his teammate Matalako.
That's where it's interesting.
Is he gonna visit anytime soon? I know there was some Trilly reported that he's gonna take an official next week. Mm-hmm. Is Martini taking official next week? How's this whole thing gonna shake out?
So it's a little interesting. I know he was technically supposed to visit today. No, he's supposed to visit with Martini originally. That didn't happen. He went home to Ohio with his family to celebrate Easter weekend, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be intriguing to see where this lands. So now I still think Martini commits relatively soon. I'd probably say within the next week. So you guys are still going to have to wait for good news, I guess. But it's, I don't know, Alaco's recruitment's a tough one to get a read on. He's probably going to want to be a starter wherever he goes. I don't know if Rutgers can start three guards or not. They could definitely. They've done it before. That means you're putting a lot of pressure on, I guess you could start Martini at the five, but it's just risky. Big Ten, it's too risky. Yeah. I know Princeton did it, different league completely. Would Martini be okay with coming off the bench? Because I would assume Alaco is probably a starter.
Yep.
So that's where things get intriguing. It's probably based on matchup. I would assume you'd either flip-flop Martini or Alaco. But Alaco has a lot of suitors, I'm told. A lot of Midwest schools are after him. Originally, it sounded like he was actually going to go to the Midwest and just go closer home, which is fair. but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. See what happens. It's just gotta kind of wait till these guys get on campus. That's how they get a feel for everything. If they get that feel for everything and then they like it, that could be it. Like you saw Ace Bailey. I don't think anyone saw him committing that day.
But yeah, no, I don't even think Ace did based on what he said afterwards. Mm-hmm. He got caught up in the moment, and thankfully he stuck with it. Let's talk about another guy we previously mentioned who also is getting a lot of interest from Rutgers, Dante Maddox Jr., the Toledo guard. Mm-hmm. So from what we're hearing, he is very close to Jeremiah Williams.
Yes.
Rutgers is heavily involved, and he also likes Rutgers, but there's going to be some big dogs in this race. What are you hearing about Dante Maddox?
Yeah, so I was told he's very close with Rutgers, Rutgers guard Jeremiah Williams, like you said, both from Illinois. I don't know the exact details between how close they are, but just based on people I was talking to today, they said they were like not best friends, but pretty damn close. The interest is reciprocated. So Rutgers' interest is, I'm saying this all wrong. Dante Maddox is interested in Rutgers as well as Rutgers is interested in him. So they're going to see what they could do. They're going to try to get him on campus. We'll wait and see if that happens or not. I think he's going to have a long list of suitors. I know talking to people today, they think he's going to have like a ton of schools all after him. I mean, he's only been in portal for a day and he's already had a bunch of schools reach out. I expect Rutgers to be on that list whenever someone's going to tweet it out. I don't know who tweets them anymore.
Portal report.
They already
tweeted out that Rutgers is showing interest.
There we go. So yeah, those reports are crazy. I don't know how people just constantly do that. That's pain, but, Rutgers is one of the schools that is super interested in him. They're going to try to get him on campus within the next 2 weeks, I was told. We'll see if that gets locked up for a visit or not. It's going to be very, very tough to land him though. If you land him, you're probably not getting a Locko. You're probably not getting both, if I had to guess. Now he comes to campus, you probably have to start him, right? Like there's no way he comes off the bench. Like that's
I think if you land Locko or Maddox, you're playing a three guard lineup.
True. Yeah. You probably don't have a choice at that point. Which rebounding is gonna be interesting. I do think Ace is a decent rebounder, but who needs rebounds when you don't miss? So there's that.
That's true.
And that's why they got rid of Gavin Griffiths.
Yeah, well, speaking of rebounding, let's talk some big man recruiting. Where do things stand with the transfer big man? Obviously, they're recruiting a few people, but what are you hearing about some of their top targets right now?
Yeah, so Josh Cohen, I know, was the top target last year. Not going to happen. Amari Williams is one of the top targets. It sounds unlikely at the moment, unless someone has $600,000 laying all around, which, I mean, it's a lot of money for a center. But that is the market. That's just the way it's going right now. That's supply and demand. Malik Ewing, the JUCO, very unlikely to happen now. I'm told Nebraska's after him. I'm told Florida's after him. I was told there's a third school. I can't remember who they were. Not that it matters anymore because he's not going to Rutgers. But they could revisit that down the line, but I highly doubt it. So you might end up seeing him in the Big Ten after all. And then a new name entered the portal today. Now, no Rutgers reported interest yet. I have been texting back and forth with him. I'm very familiar with him, as most Rutgers fans are too, because he heavily considered Rutgers, took an official visit here a year ago. And that's Gus Yaldin. Gus Yaldin has bounced
baby
around.
Jokic.
Yeah, baby Jokic. He has bounced around quite a bit in his high school career. He was at IMG at one point. I think he's played at a school in Wisconsin, and then he was also in the Midwest somewhere, or North Carolina, I forget. Ended up redshirting at Wisconsin. Now, Rutgers liked him a lot. 2 years ago, he liked Rutgers a lot. 2 years ago, too, actually. Now, do they reach out? I don't know. I don't think they're going to. I think you need a more experienced big man, someone that has proven experience. Number one at the high major level, you would love. If you can't get that, that's fine. But someone that's producing too. That's why, like, Amari Williams makes a lot of sense. He's produced a ton at the low major, right? I don't know where Drexel is.
Drexel's in Philadelphia.
No, I didn't know that. Man. Like,
they're in the A-10 or the CAA. They just moved to the CAA.
Low major, I guess?
Or mid-major. That's mid-major.
All right, we'll say that's low major or mid-major. Three-time defensive player of the year, all-conference player of the year. Like, he makes sense. Now, Gus Yaldin, like I said, redshirted. He has a lot of potential, but it's a similar case to Aaron Bradshaw, where is that potential really hasn't been tapped yet, and I think it's too risky to get a big man that doesn't have some type of playing experience at this level. Especially playing, not just playing experience, but producing at this level. I need someone that could produce. I'm not going to be able to replace Cliff entirely. But again, I do think I can find someone in the portal that's a good fit for this team and someone that could just do the basics. I need him to rebound. I need him to box out. I need him to play defense. And that's really it. Like, don't get me wrong. If you have an offensive game, great. We'll take you. But I mean, I need you to do like the very essentials of a big man while the other guys do all the nitty gritty scoring.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would say if there was ever a year where Rutgers would kind of get a little froggy with stuff, it'd be this year. Like, I do expect Rutgers to at least aim high with who they go after for a big man. I think that's in part why you're hearing them tied to guys like the number one JUCO player in the country, you know. Arguably the top center in the portal in Amari Williams.
Yep.
So they're going big game hunting right now, and they'll go to their secondary targets if they whiff. But just keep a. It wouldn't surprise me if there's guys who end up visiting this weekend, because
it's true.
This is, you know, all very fluid right now. Guys are still entering the portal. We still have the NCAA tournament going on. There's going to be guys on teams, as we've seen, as teams are exiting the tournament. Guys are almost immediately entering the portal. Look at a guy like, you know, Michi Johnson from South Carolina. You look at the kid from Drake, who was the Missouri or the Ohio Valley. He was the player of the year in Drake's conference.
Ohio Valley, I think.
Drake was a 10 seed this year. They get bounced. He ends up committing to West Virginia like the day after he enters the portal, in part because, you know, his dad's now the head coach there. But still a lot of guys to enter. So I wouldn't get too distraught right now. Show patience. I know it just seems like the hits keep on coming. in terms of basketball, but I promise you, we're just way too in the weeds right now. If we can pull back and look at this moment from 6 weeks in the future, I think we'll all be kind of like laughing at ourselves because we can't believe all the stir that we've gotten into over this. I'm not happy about, you know, losing guys, but at the same time, I trust the staff understands the urgency in which we are currently under to find impact players to surround Dylan Mace with in the 24-25 season.
I mean, you got to trust him. This guy built it from scratch, essentially. It wasn't even scratch. It was like whatever below scratch is, because like that.
Yes.
Like this, Pikeville just completely rebuilt this program. They weren't in tournament talk for like 30 years. Yep. They weren't even in.
There was like
maybe 1 year,
2 to 3 years where we were even on the bubble.
Yeah.
In recent memory prior to Pikeville getting here.
Now it's the expectation. And now next year, the expectations jump again because you're getting two stars coming in. So we'll wait and see what they bring in. I wouldn't panic at all. I know some of you on the boards are like, this sucks. College basketball sucks. Like the portal sucks. Like this is how it works. Like this is fine. Like this is normal. This is happening everywhere. Wisconsin lost what, 5 dudes already?
Wisconsin lost 5 dudes, including their leading scorer in AJ Store.
Yeah.
Hell, like, Iowa lost a McCaffrey. Damn dad's the coach.
Like, that's insane. And the younger son's probably going to be even better. And he already said he's like, I'm not going there. Like, this is because he's probably going to go get a payday. Like, you think he needs a payday when his dad's making millions? Yeah, he's not getting daddy's money now. Like, that's it. Like, this is a very interesting time we're living in. But I would be patient. I do think Rutgers is going to find some really nice portal pieces. I think you just have to wait and see.
Yep. I agree. That's all I got today. Is there anything else we didn't cover that you wanted to hit on before we head out?
I'm looking through the board right now. Oh, yeah. Can we stop saying the Cayman Islands? Like, ruining my moment. Like, I was so happy that it was almost going to be a thing, and it's not. It sounds like it's not going to be a thing. I know Rutgers logo is in it. Rutgers is on the ticket site, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to happen, it sounds like. They're going to do Vegas instead. Book your Vegas rooms. Tell your family you're not going to be there for Thanksgiving. You're going to be going to watch Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper take on Duke and Dumper Flag. And I couldn't think of a better name though for Cooper. Like I couldn't think of anything funny. And that was it. And then the random, I forget the guy from NBA Academy. He's the other highly ranked kid.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, but I assume they're probably going to be in it too, if I had to guess. So that should be fun. It should be a really fun event because you're not just getting that game hypothetically. You're getting like probably multiple games, no matter what, win or lose.
Yeah, multiple games over multiple days. Vegas is an awesome place to spend time, especially when you're only there for a few days. Like I can't say I'd want to stay there a week. I think I might, wither away and die if I'm in Vegas for more than 3 or 4 days. But
you can recreate the hangover. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that's just called a drunken disorderly arrest. Yeah, you'll be in jail most of the time.
We'll leave like Alec on the roof or something.
Oh man, somebody's got to Photoshop that picture.
That'd be a good one.
All right, we're getting off the rails here, guys.
Oh yeah.
Thanks again for listening. This is what, our 4th day in a row we're putting out a pod. I don't anticipate us releasing one tomorrow, but you never know. We always think that we're not going to have another one for a bit and then news happens. So
yeah,
would not surprise me if that ends up happening again, but we thank each and every one of you for listening. We thank everybody who's liked and subscribed. Again, we want to get our YouTube channel up to 4,000 subscribers. Yes. So if you haven't already and you listen to this show, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'll be doing our next giveaway after we get to 4,000 subscribers. Yep. So the quicker we get that number up, the quicker you guys can get more free stuff. So
real quick, are you spring 24? Promo code 50% off Night Report. There is 1 day remaining. Last chance. That's it. Kaput. You're done. If you're a Rutgers student, like I said before, I've actually had a couple people DM me about this already. DM me. You'll get the Night Report for cheap as hell because I respect students and I respect your drinking habits. And I'm going to get you to save some money there. So, So DM me if you want the student code, but you have to have your .edu ID. Or .edu email. So I could send the code there. Therefore, you have to actually use that, blah, 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 verify, blah, blah, blah. But sign up within the next day or you're shit out of luck.
Richie, man of the people. Love to hear it.
Big beer guy.
All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. For me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Night Report Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.